This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Greetings out there to everybody at Greater TFMR. It is late in the day, Thursday, March 25th. This is your Thursday conversation. We got a unique one going this time, because a lot of times I'll record a Thursday conversation maybe on Wednesday and we'll post on Thursday. But the person I'm talking to is actually Friday. So now I'm all screwed up. I feel like I've gone through a wormhole to pull this off. I don't know if I'm coming or going, but I very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with this new guest, a guy I have only recently met. He's a recent member here at TFMR, and so I welcome him to the site as well, but his name is John Adams. He's an American founding father. I'd like to make that joke. Everybody remembers John Adams as the second president of the United States. This is actually John Adams, the chief economist at Gold Australia, which is Southern Australia's largest gold dealer. He also is the proprietor of AdamsEconomics.com, and he has been a great resource over the last few weeks tracking some rather interesting developments down under. So anyway, with that, John, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you, Craig, for having me.
Hey, I could try to introduce you again, but I won't. I'll let you do that. Please tell everybody a little bit about your day job.
Sure. So I am the chief economist for the South Australia's largest bullion dealership. It's called As Good As Gold Australia. So we're basically just a retail dealership in which we sort of sell gold and silver platinum to both domestic and international clients. I also run my own website where I basically have a bunch of my own commentary that I've been building up over the last, since probably about 2016. I do have a YouTube channel that I co-host one of my co-hosts called Martin North. It's called In the Interest of the People. And where I came into this journey, Craig, was that so just so people understand, in a previous life, I used to work in federal parliament as an economic advisor, and that was around 2012-13. And by 2015-16, I was extremely concerned about Australia's household debt bubble. So it's the biggest debt bubble in Australian history. It's the second, household debt to GDP is the second highest in the world behind Switzerland. And we are property crazy here in Australia. And if you think about the property bubble in the United States before the GFC, if you look at our metrics, they are off the charts. So America holds nothing compared to the amount of household debt and the amount of the property bubble that we have in this country. And so I thought to myself, well, there's no one in the mainstream establishment press warning the average Australian about financial risk around having too much debt and getting caught up in a property bubble. So I started writing a number of articles about debt. The economic situation, started doing some videos, and then I started talking about, the situation is we have the biggest household debt bubble in Australian history. At the same time, we've got the biggest debt bubble in the history of the world. And in the course of economic history, there has never been a debt bubble of this magnitude that has not resulted in a catastrophic economic event. So I wrote a series of articles about economic Armageddon, and people can Google John Adams economic Armageddon. You're going to find a whole bunch of mainstream media articles that I wrote about in 2017 and 18. And part of that analysis was I provided six scenarios as to where this may end up, and three of them were of a deflationary nature, and three of them were of an inflationary nature. And then I had a bit of a, one of the articles I wrote was, well, what should people do to prepare for a catastrophic economic event? And one of them was to hold good money. And I started buying silver in particular in 2017. And then in 2018, I had the opportunity to actually join the industry and started working for As Good As Gold Australia. So I came at this as a macroeconomist. I had heard rumors back then. In 2016-17, Craig, and probably I heard you on USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter talking about market manipulation. But now that it's a full-time profession for me, I've delved right into the technical aspects of what's happening in the gold market and the silver market, what happens at LBM and COMEX, and all the shenanigans that have happened. And that's where I think that your platform, TFMR's report, is invaluable. Because you've been looking at the technical aspects for more than a decade, and you have a very good handle about where are we with this manipulation, and what are the techniques that are used to basically rig the market, both in terms of the price, but in terms of also how do you rig some of the financial products that are being sold in the industry.
And John, I got to tell you, I slave behind this computer for the last 10 or 12 years, and you never really know who you're reaching. And so when you told me earlier that you'd been influenced in finding all this out by, you know, some guy with a big nose and a funny yellow hat, I really I take that. It's a great compliment, and I really appreciate all that you say about TF Metals Report. I do want to, obviously, we're going to talk a lot about the situation at the Perth Mint and this ABC bullion that we've seen mentioned on Reddit and non-allocated accounts and the prevalence of those, not only in Australia, but worldwide, and how that synthetic metal impacts the supply, demand, and the price. Obviously, it's this form of alchemy. I would be remiss, though, before we get into that, I just want to ask you one quick question about yield curve control, because you are an economist and you are in Australia, and the Bank of Australia has implemented yield curve control now for about 12 months. It's where, I have no doubt, the U.S. is headed eventually. And I've come to think of it, though, as the product of, or the tool of last resort in the toolbox that Powell talks about all the time. Because if yield curve control fails, if they peg it at, say, in the U.S. at 2% on the 10-year note, and rates smash through there and go for 3%, that would paint the Fed in a very harsh light as being ineffective and basically unimportant at that point, which would leave them very few options. So we had a little brush with that in Australia a couple of weeks ago. Just briefly, tell us a little bit about how yield curve control has gone there and what you think of that policy and if it might be extended globally.
Sure. So when the pandemic started in March of last year, and I'm not, you know, so obviously we had huge, there were huge announcements around economic stimulus. So we had the largest fiscal and monetary stimulus package in Australian history. And part of the monetary response to the pandemic was to implement yield curve control. So the announcement initially was to peg the 3-year bond rate at 0.25%. And that was relatively successful. Now, why do they pick the 3-year note? Because that's basically the benchmark in which, in terms of Australian bonds, in terms of Australian banks, that's what we typically use. So particularly when it comes to mortgages, most Americans use fixed rate mortgages, whereas Australians use variable rate mortgages in terms of how households sort of borrow money from the banks. So that's why the 3-year is quite important. Now, we started at 0.25. And then in November of last year, 2020, when the Reserve Bank of Australia board met, they made the decision to lower it from 0.25 to 0.1. Then, obviously, as we started to open the economy up and the rollout of the vaccine, and obviously the market is starting to wake up to all of this unprecedented monetary and fiscal stimulus, we've started to see a sell-off in the bond market and the yields start to rise. And then that obviously culminated in the failure of the bond auction on the 25th of February, where the seven-year U.S. Treasury auction basically had a catastrophic result in terms of the level of both domestic and foreign demand for those bonds. And then we started to see bond yields spike all across the world, particularly in the developed world, U.S., Australia, Japan, Germany, etc. And so in late February, the yield curve control policy was very tested, because the yields on the 3-year bonds shot up to 0.15,
0.16,
and 0.16, whereas the policy was 0.1. Now, in response to that, the RBA went public, I think, in the subsequent Monday, and said they're changing their bond buy program from $2 billion a day to $4 billion a day. Now, that did have some temporary relief, but during that week, again, the amount of pressure on the bond market, that was quite large. And this was coinciding when the U.S. 10-year note was going at 1.6, 1.7. And so I haven't sort of checked in the last couple of days, but, the yields seem to have been, I mean, there has been a brief rally in the bond market around the world for the last couple of weeks. So it looks like the policy is now back under control around 0.1. But obviously, Zero Hedge had an article in saying that the yield curve control policy in Australia was basically in shambles, mm-hmm. because the market basically cracked through 0.1. And they obviously had to come out with a response saying we're doubling our buying program. And obviously, if what I think is going to happen, and correct me if I'm wrong, Craig, I think what you think is going to happen, if we continue to see inflation build in 2021, I think this policy in Australia, but also in Japan, who has yield curve control, I think it's going to be tested again. And obviously, if the central banks can't control the in terms of these yields, the credibility shot with the market. And then obviously it's going to be a very interesting situation as to who's going to win that tussle between the market and the central banks.
Right, which makes it the really the tool of last resort, because like you said, they'd lose all credibility if the market blasts through their stated cap, and they either have to just double, triple, quadruple down on the amount they're buying to try to shove it back under, or like I said, risk becoming insignificant at that point. And then what's the next step, John? What does Australia do if it goes to 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, 0.5? What happens next? I mean, do you nationalize the bond market?
Well, I mean, the thing is that, Craig, what I've said is, I've already said it on the record, we have passed the point of no return.
Yeah.
So we started quantitative easing and yield curve control last year, but I even back in 2019, I was doing a number of YouTube shows and basically begging the RBA not to do it, because what most people don't understand is that what are these policies? These policies are basically buying bonds at artificially high prices that the market is not willing to purchase, and the policy obviously the objective is to push yields down to basically drive interest costs lower right across the economy and to boost economic growth. So if you artificially buy bonds at a high price and then you want to reverse that policy by doing quantitative tightening, you have to assume, or you have to hope, that there is sufficient private sector demand to buy those bonds back. Mm-hmm. The problem is that there's not that demand at those prices. And if you ever wanted to reverse the policy, you by implication have to allow interest rates to go up. And when you've got the biggest debt bubble in the history of Australian history, that's going to spell disaster for millions of households across the country. So we have gone past the point of no return in terms of the Australian context. I think it's true to say that right across the world, could we have a depression? Could they reverse policy? Could we raise interest rates? Could we pop the debt bubble? We absolutely can. It would result in the greatest depression in the history of economics. Do I think that's a good thing? I actually do, because I do think that we need to basically admit that the global debt bubble is too big and we need to shrink it. But at every point of crisis since the GFC, central banks have basically said, we're not going to allow this debt bubble to shrink. And so every time there's been, so whether you think about Greece in 2012, or the repo crisis in September of 2019, or in terms of COVID-19 in March 2020, or the recent bond market crisis in February, March of 2021, every time there's a testing of this debt bubble, they step in with more and more monetary and fiscal stimulus.
Yep.
And obviously the powers that be will not allow this to explode into the greatest depression in human history. And that's why we can never go back.
Yep. And that's why I would imagine the Fed will try to hold off as long as they can. And we here at TF Metals Report, we've been talking about this, John, since last summer. And it's definitely coming. We just don't know when. John, I want to transition then into the other stuff I want to talk to you about, which is, you've gotten hold of this issue, and I you're doing a great job of monitoring everything going on in Australia with the unallocated accounts there. But really just the whole game of this synthetic metal. You've heard me talk about it. People on the site have heard me talk about it. Wrote about it again this week about how the metal is just loaned out, if you will, over and over and over again, or sold out over and over again in the hope that no one will, no more than one person will ever show up at one time claiming it. The issue at hand down there is the Perth Mint, with them. I was on their website earlier, John. They've got no coins for sale, maybe some kilo bars, but nothing else. And Richard Hayes, in response to people figuring this out over the last week or two, that they run this unallocated program, was on Australian radio claiming, oh, no, we got plenty of silver. We got 60 metric tons. And the interviewer said, okay, well, I mean, if I show up today to purchase a 1,000-ounce bar, you mean I can have one? And I go, oh, sure, no problem. Now, John, that seems to be inconsistent with what you've heard down there. So please tell us what you sense is going on.
Sure. So, Craig, I'll take your listeners back to late February. So I'm here in Sydney. I have a number of friends who live in Perth. Late February, retail customers were going into the Perth Mint looking to buy silver, and they were being told no silver for sale. Starting March, now, the company I work for, As Good As Gold Australia, we are an accredited distributor for the Perth Mint. Starting March, we were told we cannot place any orders on the Perth Mint. So we are a retail dealership. In the last few days, I've also been talking to Australian wholesalers of bullion. They have also been told the Perth Mint will not accept any orders. Now, last Friday, so it's Friday here in Australia. So this time last week, I got an email from someone in Perth, and they basically said to me that the previous day, on the Thursday last week, they placed an order on the Perth Mint for 20 kilos in 1 kilo bar form. And they were told, and they paid the money, everything was settled. They were told that it would take 4 months to get the silver. And obviously if someone came to me today for looking for 20 kilos, we most probably would have it in our inventory. If for whatever reason we didn't, maximum 10 days. It should not be taking 4 months to deliver on 20 kilos of silver. And obviously there's other private sector providers in the Australian market who could provide 20 kilos very, very quickly. So I actually had an email back and forth with Andy Sheckman from Miles Franklin, and he said, well, if they're struggling to provide sort of that volume in 4 months, that there has to be something wrong. So that is about people placing new orders. Now, when it comes to these synthetic positions, now, I definitely have been influenced by your body of work, because what I've noticed, having been in this industry for the last coming on 3 years, is a lot of Australian investors don't understand the difference between physical ownership, allocated. And so allocated is basically you legally own the metal, but you actually have vaulted it with someone, versus what I call synthetic, which is unallocated, poorly allocated, or in terms of some of these ETFs. So, having read some of your work and some other people's work, I wrote an article on my website last year saying beware of synthetic gold and silver products. The last couple of months, I've been on a campaign basically saying to people, get out of these products because they're full of counterparty risk. Buy the physical, and obviously if you can take physical possession, that's great. If you're going to vault it with someone, vault it with someone that you can trust. I did a influential segment with Dunning and Kyle on Liberty Finance. I've done a few sort of YouTube shows. I've just done something with Arcadia Economics this morning, but also on my own YouTube channel, In the Interest of the People. Our most recent show from last week was exposing the synthetic silver scam. And we went through in some detail as to what are the differences between these various forms of silver. And so that has definitely influenced a number of people in the Australian market. And so we've had a range of people going to the Perth Mint saying, I have unallocated or pool allocated, I want physical, and there have been problems. Now, before I give you a couple of specific examples, Craig, I will say that having spoken to the official line from the Perth Mint is there is an issue around manufacturing small products, but yep, they have 60 tons available for sale. That's a direct quote of 1,000-ounce bars. I have a wholesaler on the East Coast who attempted to buy 1 ton of silver from the Perth Mint in 1,000-ounce bar form, and the intention was to ship it across to a refiner in Victoria on the East Coast and melt it down into small retail products and to resell it to the public. The Perth Mint was refused to take that order. Now, when it comes to customers, now, in that situation, I should say, obviously the Perth Mint's under no legal obligation to sell a ton of silver to a prospective customer. But when it comes to holders of unallocated or pool allocated products, the Perth Mint website is categorical in that if you have an allocated position, delivery in 2 days, 48 hours. If it's in the vault, you get it in 2 days. If it's unallocated or pool allocated, it says it's 10 days. Now, in this interview with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, Richard Hayes basically tried to change the definition of his own terms and conditions. It says, well, 10 days doesn't actually mean you get silver. 10 days is that we are going to arrange quotation arrangement for freight costs. Now, that's a complete outrage, because anyone in this industry knows that even for the most complex transaction, to arrange a quote and to arrange for freight, it's 2 days max. You mm-hmm. probably do it within a few hours, but if there's a bit of back and forth, maximum 2 days. You don't need 10 days to arrange quotation. So obviously the website says 10 days, and people have been calling up. Now, I can say that with my company, As Good As Gold Australia, a week and a half ago, we were successful in closing a multi-million dollar, multi-ton silver deal. This client had about 3.5 tons unallocated at the Perth Mint. And since the start of the silver squeeze, he became nervous about rumors of shortages in the market. And obviously he's been reading my work, and we've been discussing this for about 6 months. He made the decision, okay, now it's time to liquidate unallocated and go to physical. So he came to us, and we started having commercial negotiations as to what sort of deal we can cut for him in terms of availability, in terms of price, etc. But the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of how do we close the deal, he called up the Perth Mint, and he said, 3.5 tons, unallocated, give me a guarantee, when can I get silver? If it's in the 1,000-ounce bar form, which is what Richard Hayes says that they're swimming in, he wasn't given a hard guarantee. He was given a pretty much a indication as to when it likely may come, and that wasn't good enough for him. So he decided to liquidate his unallocated position, come across to us, and we're going to deliver 3.5 tons within 3 or 4 weeks. We've obviously guaranteed that through our refiner, and our client's going to get the metal. So that's one example there. But I've had 7 or 8 different retail examples of people going to the Perth Mint and saying, I want allocated, I want physical, how long, when can I get it? And in multiple situations, sorry, we can't deliver, you've got to be in a waiting line. Now, last weekend, and obviously, Craig, you retweeted me, I put out a tweet saying that I'm hearing horror story after horror story, and I ended the tweet saying the Perth Mint is in default. Now, I thought a couple of people would actually read the tweet. Well, as of this morning, the tweet has 360,000 impressions, and it went worldwide. I mean, Wall Street, Silver picked it up, you picked it up, David Morgan, David Brady, a whole bunch of players in the industry picked it up, and it went around the world. And I think the Perth Mint has been scrambling, trying to basically be in damage control. But it's a very fluid situation. So last weekend, a friend of mine who has 200 kilos unallocated at the Perth Mint, we had a phone conversation, and he was very categorical with me. He said, John, I just don't believe you that the Perth Mint has problems. So I said to them, okay, well, call them up on Monday and see what they say. So he called up and said, I have 200 kilos unallocated. I want to go to allocated. What can you do for me? Sorry, we have no silver. But then they said, well, we have some silver coming in this afternoon. So if we have, we don't know what's coming in. If we have silver that can fulfill your order, we'll let you know. Monday afternoon, he gets no phone call. So he calls back on Tuesday. And all of a sudden on Tuesday, they say to him, we have available 6 1,000-ounce bars. If you want to convert your unallocated to allocated, if you're willing to pay the fabrication fee, which is $1,000 per 1,000-ounce bar, we can do the deal. So he did that. And so he's gone from synthetic to physical of 200 kilos via 6 1,000-ounce bars. But having said that, when we come to Wednesday, I get 2 long emails from a Perth Mint customer, and different situation. He had 10,000 ounces unallocated. He said, "Can I have any silver?" No, sorry, you can't have silver in any form. Then he said, "Can I go to pool allocated?" And they said, "Sure, if you want to go to pool allocated, you can. You'll have to pay a fabrication cost of 50 cents per ounce, but we can do that for you." So he converted 3,200 ounces of his 10,000 ounce position from unallocated to pool allocated. And just to explain to your listeners, unallocated is silver, which is 100% backed by the working capital of the mint. But pool allocated is supposed to be backed by a whole warehouse full of 1,000-ounce bars, which is consisting of the pool. So this person goes, well, he converted it over, he paid the fabrication costs, and then he said to them, okay, now my account says I have 3,200 ounces in pool allocated. So I want 3 1,000-ounce bars, which the Perthman on the record said they're swimming in. He was told, sorry, we can't do it. Okay. Why not? He was then told that there's various categories of these 1,000-ounce bars in the warehouse, and his account didn't fit the categories in which the bars were sitting in. And this client told me this on Wednesday night on the phone, and I was just befuddled. Oh, what does this mean? And the guy I was talking to, he had no idea. And so we're getting these BS answers out of the Perth Mint. They're saying they're swimming in 60 tons of silver ready for sale. Wholesalers can't get anything out of the Perth Mint, and they're willing to take 1,000-ounce bars. We do have some small customers who admittedly have some problems getting delivery because the Perth Mint has some problems with production. But then we have a whole bunch of customers who are willing to take 1,000-ounce bars, and on some days they're saying that there's nothing available, and then on other days they're saying, well, we have something coming in. So it's a very inconsistent message coming from the Perth Mint. And obviously all I can say is, now I haven't contacted the Perth Mint directly, but all I can say is I am getting a range of stories, and I think Wall Street Silver posted a number of customers who posted screenshots of their experiences, and the experiences of customers is inconsistent with what Richard Hayes is saying on the public record.
So, and it's very important people understand, this is not just specific to the Perth Mint. There are unallocated accounts in Canada, there are unallocated accounts in Switzerland, there are unallocated accounts in the U.S. They're everywhere. And I don't understand. I mean, I'm just a, you know, normal guy out here in the middle of nowhere. How is this not a scam, John? If was your client that was an unallocated that they moved to, what do you call it, open allocated?
So technically it's called pool allocated.
Pool allocated. Okay. Was he paying, what kind of fees was he paying in his unallocated account? Do you know? Was there any fees at all?
One of the things about the Perth Mint unallocated product is there is no storage fees. So,
well, there
so
better not
why
be.
Why people put their money? Sorry,
there better not be, for crying out loud. He doesn't have any metal.
But here's the thing, Craig. The Perth Mint says these products, unallocated, pool allocated, are 100% backed. Now, one of the things I've been able to expose over the last 12 months is the Perth Mint is running a fractional reserve synthetic program in which when they say that it's 100% backed, they are using leasing arrangements,
right,
by borrowing gold and silver from around the world to basically cover what their exposure is. And yet a lot of people in the Australian market don't actually understand how this backing, how the backing is actually constituted. But the corporate name for the Perth Mint is called Gold Corporation. And if you look at their balance sheet from 30 June 2020, there's a line item called Precious Metal Borrowing Interest Bearing, and it's $1.7 billion. Now, a portion of that is 11 tons of gold that the Perth Mint has borrowed from the Reserve Bank of Australia, which the RBA told Parliament physically does not move. And the rest of the position, we don't know whether that's gold or whether that's silver. But why would a refiner / retailer borrow gold from around the world using leasing arrangements, right, and pay fees?
Right.
It's to basically satisfy the auditor.
Right.
When the auditor comes in and says, show me the backing for your synthetic product.
Yeah. Oh, it's in London. Don't worry about it. We got it. It's there. This is a massive scam, and it's not just the Perth Mint. There was a lady named Julie, and I'm going to ask you in a second to explain who ABC Bullion is. Because a lot of folks outside of Australia don't know what that is. But again, it's just another, I think you'll explain, another example of a place that runs this unallocated account. I cannot believe that this friend of yours converted then to this pooled that is allegedly physical, and they still told him he couldn't have. We should tell you everything you need to know, John. And then one more thing. I listened to Hayes on that thing he did with Australian Radio. And the doofus disc jockey type doing the interview said, well, you know, so if I come down and want to buy one of those 1,000-ounce bars, you'll sell me one? And Hayes goes, oh, sure. You can just throw it in the boot of your car and drive off with it. No problem. Well, no, wait a second. You had somebody show up wanting those, and they told him to go take a hike. So who do you believe here?
Well, yes. So all I can say, Craig, is that on some days, there are some people able to buy 1,000-ounce bars. On other days, people are calling me up and saying, I've been told there is nothing available for sale.
Gosh, again, here's the thing. The system is held together. It's a confidence game, you know, which is where the term con games comes from. It's a confidence scheme. As long as you have confidence, then everything's fine. Like most of these, you know, kind of willfully ignorant, I guess, people around the planet that use these schemes just think, you know, feel like they own metal. As long as they have confidence that, okay, we own metal, no problem, everything's fine. It's when everybody shows up wanting the metal that the scheme gets exposed. And I know that's what you are working so diligently to get that word out. You're doing a great job. And I want to encourage you to keep going. Let me know if there's anything else you got in your mind, because I know I got to wrap up and it's getting late in the morning in Sydney. But please tell everybody a little bit more about this ABC bullion so that people understand, you know, that, you know, it's not just a specific thing to the Perth Mint where these, you know, these kind of accounts are run. And then anything else you think you need to share with everybody listening before we wrap up?
Sure. Okay. So just on the ABC bullion thing, because that basically has gone around the world and you've definitely posted on TF Metals Report. So a couple of things. ABC bullion is the largest private sector refiner/retailer in the Australian market.
Largest.
So they are the largest private sector refiner and retailer. The largest play in the market is actually Perth Mint, but they're actually government owned. So Perth ABC Bullion is the second biggest in the market, but they are the largest private sector refiner/retailer in the Australian market. Now, Julie G. Silver, who posted it on Reddit, now, her situation is different to synthetic product. She actually had product that she bought, and she received an inventory statement from ABC Bullion. And under their terms and conditions, if you have allocated, so we're not talking unallocated or pool allocated, we're talking allocated, you can stand for delivery in 2 days. She stood for delivery, and they said they didn't. According to her, that she said she was told they don't have her product. So now I have spoken to Julie. She has sent me some information about what has happened. I mean, there are some potential conversations with lawyers, so I won't go into it. All I will say is that I remember one of the first shows I did on YouTube back in 2018, I played a clip of Eric Sprott, and Eric was talking about, there was this documentary that I took a clip of with Eric and a gold analyst called Frank Van der Rosso, and they were talking about fractional reserve allocated vaulting systems. So, and I think this is important, Craig. So, in the last few weeks, as I've been on this campaign around against synthetic, I've been able to convert hand on heart document 14 tons of synthetic silver to physical. Now, that
beautiful.
Physical could either be physically received or it could be an allocated account. Now, but if you go to allocated, you must be able to trust that the person vaulting for you is actually going to vault the silver. Now, Julie G's allegation is when she asked for her silver, it wasn't there in the form that it was recorded on the inventory statement. So that is a big deal. Now, David Morgan in the last 24 hours sent me a number of articles in which Morgan Stanley had allocated accounts for clients. And clients put money in these accounts on the assumption that they bought silver and Morgan Stanley was going to store it for them, and there was no silver. So I won't say more about the Julie G situation because again, I'm not making that allegation. That's her experience, and she needs to basically seek redress from both ABC Bullion and whether she wants to take legal action. So I won't say anything more about that. But there is definitely evidence that if you go, so all I'll say to your listeners is, if you know of anyone with a synthetic product, unallocated, pool allocated, or if you have an ETF, especially with a custodian is JP Morgan, dump it today, buy physical. That's how we're going to apply maximum pressure on the COMEX. But if you go to allocated, you must be able to trust that the counterparty that is storing and holding your metal actually has it in the form that they tell you that they have it.
Period. End of story. Full stop. And thank you for clearing that up. ABC Bullion is not like just some little fly-by-night boutique in South, you know, Tasmania. Okay, this is a big outfit, and we're all going to be interested to see how this plays out. But again, it's just indicative of how this is pervasive around the globe. We're not just simply fighting the monkeys in New York, you know, and the traders in London and all this kind of stuff. This is a worldwide syndicate.
Absolutely.
And it's all this fractional reserve banking that has overtaken everything really since the London gold pool failed and Nixon closed the gold window, and they had to design ways to cleave off physical demand and put it into all these other make-believe phony baloney things like futures contracts and ETFs and unallocated accounts. And what we have to do if we're going to have any impact, and if we're ever going to change the system, is we got to take the metal out of their hands and force them to deleverage it. And that's what this is all about. And so, John, I just very much, very much appreciate you taking the time to tell everybody about this stuff. And frankly, your work there on the ground in Australia to spread the word and help as many people as you can to actually get their hands on physical metal while they can. You know, none of this, well, I can go on a dealer and I can buy 10 coins right now. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're talking about the system as a whole that has scammed everybody into thinking there's far more metal than there really is. So, John, you have done a fantastic job at opening people's eyes. I hope you're able to continue to do it, and I hope you're able to come back here to TF Metals Report and update us on your progress sometime soon.
No problems, Craig.
John, thank you so much. I hope you have a great Friday. It's going to be your weekend soon. I'm envious of that. And we'll talk again soon. And thank you, everybody at TFMR, for listening. Again, this is a public thread, so please take it, post it to Reddit, send it around Twitter, and we'll try to open as many eyes as possible. And the more money we can take out of the bankers, or the more metal we can take out of the bankers' hands, the better. Again, thank you to John Adams for his time today, and thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll have another TF Metals Report Thursday conversation next week.